Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known, if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we have Larry up on his mountaintop. And I want to answer, first of all, before we get into the news, I have a few things I really should take care of. We've had several emails or comments and about what I had to say about Billy Graham. And I'll read you one of the comments. The other one was about that I had called him a false prophet. And they wanted to know, why in the world would you call Billy Graham a false prophet? And so anyway, I wanted to kind of answer that. And Larry, you're certainly welcome to make comment anywhere, interrupt anywhere, whatnot, as I go through some of this. I'm going to try and get through it so we can get to the news. But it does require a little bit of, investigation. Stuart, this is the comment I got. Stuart, or one of them. I heard something that shocked me about 5 minutes ago, that Billy Graham was a 33rd degree Mason. I trust you and Larry will let us all know the truth. The man said that he was leading us down the wide path instead of the narrow path to life. Please let us know. That troubles me to no end. Well, the only reason that I highly suspect that he really was 33rd degree Mason, and I'm not, I don't think that really disqualifies anyone necessarily, or makes him a false prophet. But about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, when I was running the ministry under a big website that I had called trueinsight.com, trying to revive that. But anyway, somebody wrote me an email and said, did you know Billy Graham was a 33rd degree Mason? And gave me a link to a Masonic lodge in North Carolina. I clicked on the link, and there was Billy Graham's name written right there as one of the members. So from that perspective, I guess one could say that, yes, it's true. He probably was a high-level Mason. I believe Donald Trump's a high-level Mason. This is all part of mystery of the Bible. If you look up the word mystery, it simply means secret, or I guess you could call them private, clandestine, whatever you want to call them, people who join these Masonic lodges, and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I don't think that necessarily disqualifies Billy Graham on the basis of that. When I called him a false prophet, I'm doing it on the basis of what Jesus Christ himself had to say. And everybody has to make up their mind whether they're going to believe Jesus Christ or not. Are they going to take him at his word or not? Now, Jesus made a comment to all of us, and it really does require us to think. He said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing him, come to me as a little child. And you really have to think about that remark and what he meant by it. Now, a little child simply accepts what he's told by his parents when they're little, when they're like 1, 2 years old. And you just, daddy and mommy know. And so when you're told that something is true, you accept it. Is that right, Larry? Is that how you grew up? I mean, that's how I grew up. I trusted my mom. I trusted my dad when I was little. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I got the same email, and, you know, I have to say, you know, in my years in law enforcement, I never did join the Masons. I didn't feel impressed to join the Masons. I felt more impressed to join Jesus Christ. And but, you know, the Bible clearly says, Stuart, that a man can not serve two masters. Now, we know
that's
the Masonic
right.
Lodge is a master. We know that. We're aware of that. And I mean, a lot of people do join it. I mean, a lot of them join it just to get their, if you would, their name in the book, so to speak, so that they get lots of the right positions and they get breaks that other people don't get. And, you know, and later change their mind or go their own way or whatever they do. You know, not everybody just stays a Mason 100%. And so, you know, when I say two masters, what I'm getting at there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart, but, you know, it's very, you know, I know people write us emails and they want us to make a judgment call. Heaven doesn't exactly work on that level. And actually, I don't consider myself, you know, 100% in the Lord 24/7 to make that call because I'm not omnipotent and I'm not omnipresent and I don't meet the requirements of all of those things that the judge that judges us has at his fingertips. So what I would say is that, you know, we don't know. I mean, I want to say that right up straight. We don't know to what degree Billy Graham served the Masonic Lodge. I don't have a clue. I do not have a clue. And, of course, I do know and believe that he definitely, because I saw, you know, throughout the years, I didn't really follow him that close all the time, but I did see where he was going somewhat, kind of like I watched Franklin Graham and what he says. And Billy Graham seemed to point at the cross and what Jesus did and point to Jesus. And, I mean, he didn't go much further than that. I mean, that pretty well as far as he ever went. And what I read about him was he was a farmer, and he couldn't even figure out why God called him anyway, actually. But what we don't know is probably more important than what we do know. And what we don't know is what days during his lifetime he was following the Masonic Lodge and what days that he was following the Lord and doing the Lord's bidding. And since we don't have that data, it's really insufficient for us to draw much conclusions. You know, I'm not in the judging business, and I'm not even going to start getting there because too many judged me over the years and judged me wrong. And Stuart, I know a lot of people judged you and they missed it there too. But that's one thing I did want to say was to the people that want us to make a judgment call on somebody's entire life, and what we know about them is about 40 seconds of a news feed, that's not really accurate. And I don't know. Yeah. I agree with you answering the question, but I have to say that since I don't know how much that, you know, he may have joined the Masons and been a Mason 15 minutes, and went his way in his life, and that's the end of that. We don't know, but I just don't know. It's a hard call. We can't make it, and people really actually shouldn't put us in that position.
Well, one of the problems is, I think, is that they judge something on the basis of associations. I don't think you can do that. Now, the Bible does tell us to judge on the basis of not the person, and not really, you can't judge a person at all that way. But it does say we can judge their theology, we can judge their doctrines. And I wanted to clear up some of this. Here's one of the things that Jesus himself said, and that gets back to, do we believe Jesus or do we believe modern Christianity? And I have been, this is very controversial. I've been in this for 25 years. I rarely, if ever, talk about this sort of thing, but I was written a couple of emails and they asked me to kind of explain myself as to why I believe that Billy Graham was a false prophet or a false teacher. Not really a prophet, I guess you'd, but anyway, here's the basis of which I made that choice. If the world, this is Jesus speaking, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's John 15, 18 through 21. And here's another one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5, chapter 5, 10 through 12. And there's another one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Now, if you take that verse, just the way it's written, and you compare it to Billy Graham, was Billy Graham reviled? Was he persecuted? Or was he in fact loved by not only the Christian world, but by leaders all over the world, and by even unbelievers, thought the world, really, of Billy Graham? Now, Billy Graham was granted, I don't know what they call that, open, laying at open at the Rotunda in Washington, D.C. He was basically given a presidential send-off. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, was murdered and put on the cross. There's something wrong here, because either Jesus Christ is right or Billy Graham is right with his, with the doctrines that he was teaching. So you have to ask those kind of questions. You're dealing not in the person. You're dealing in the theology of the person, which we are told we have to look at, because that's the only way you can identify the real from the false. Now, I think there's a lot of misinterpretation in some of this. Here's another one, Matthew 24, 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's just talking about false Christ. But it isn't. That's not what it's saying. This is a group of preachers, teachers, and evangelists who are coming in the name of Jesus Christ under his authority. They are saying they represent Jesus Christ, and they are saying that Jesus Christ really is the Messiah. He is the Christ. But they shall deceive many. So this is a group that rises up in the name of Jesus Christ, claiming they are under the authority of Jesus Christ, and they are going to deceive the vast majority of Christians. And this is what they say. They are saying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They come upon the scene lifting up Jesus Christ as Messiah, as the Lord. They are not saying that they are the Christ. They come in the name of Jesus Christ. And actually, there is another verse of Scripture which speaks about false Christ. People, I can't remember his name, Reverend Moon, I think it was, that was claiming that he was the Christ. If I'm remembering right, is that right, Larry? I think he was one of these false Christs, if I remember.
There's been a number, you know, like the guy in Guyana. I can't remember his name either, but there's been instances, you know, all throughout history, I guess. And of course, we have to believe what Jesus said. My problem is actually making the application without all of the data. I guess my years of law enforcement forced me into that position. When I don't have enough evidence, I don't do a lot with it other than make notes. But we can question what's going on. And
You know, and of course you said, you know, it's very, you know, remarkable and unusual funeral for Billy Graham. You know, we just have to, I don't know. It's, I tell you what, I've been through so many things myself. It's very difficult to judge others to any great degree other than when I have the evidence to lay it out.
Well, I can only go by what happened and comparing it to, you know, why was he so generally accepted by the entire world, basically, when Jesus Christ himself was crucified? So my point is there has to be something wrong with the theology and the teachings, or he would have been held up and murdered right along with Jesus Christ himself. But here's where I'm going with this. But there were false prophets also, and it's not just Billy Graham. There are tons of these people out there. These are the warnings right from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. And when he said, come to me as a little child, what he's saying is, you better believe what I'm telling you, and you better be on guard. Here's another verse, and I read it, I think, last time we were on. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, the church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, there you go with that many again, the vast majority of Christians shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. You'll find that in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2, if you're taking notes. Now, this is interesting. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Notice that it says they privily bring in damnable heresies. A heresy that is damnable is any heresy that is, if embraced and believed to be true, will lead to your utter ruin. The word for damnable means utter ruin or loss, or eternal damnation or perdition. The root of the word means to destroy fully or to perish. Peter is also very direct about where in church doctrine the false teachers will strike. It's the salvation doctrine. And that is why these heresies are damnable if they're embraced. They are error-filled doctrines on salvation that, if believed, lead you to eternal ruin. Now, you go into the book of Revelation chapter 3 in the church of Laodicea, where it says they, and that's the Latter-day Church, says they do not know. They have no clue whatever that they have embraced something that's false. Anyway, they are error-filled doctrines of salvation that is believed leads you to ruin. So now the word privily is very interesting. And it's really vital to understand what Peter is really telling us. The word means to introduce secretly without any detection whatsoever by the church, to introduce surreptitiously, to bring in another gospel alongside the true gospel. It means that these damnable heresies are brought into the sheepfold or the church, the body of Christ, the whole church, all denominations, without any of them detecting it for what it is. It's not detected whatsoever by the church at large. That's what Peter is warning us about. Peter said these false teachers would come in via great stealth and cunning, because they themselves are under a deception. These teachers sincerely believe in their own minds and hearts that they are teaching the real truth, and they will use the scriptures to back them up. And Jesus said there was only one way to heaven. Then we know for a fact that all of these false doctrines must and will zero in on fake salvation. They don't have any choice. Now, the root for the word privily means from beside, in the vicinity of, close to, alongside it. It means that they look alike, they sound alike, but they are not alike. They will be close, and so close as to be alongside and virtually undetectable. They are, in fact, master counterfeits, a fabrication, fables dressed up to look like for the world like their total truth. So their theologies and their doctrines all contain a deadly error, an error that only the few, as Jesus Christ commanded, the many and the few. Then one of the English words to describe privily was surreptitiously. I'm sorry. It is defined by Random House as obtained, done or made by stealth, secret or unauthorized or clandestine, or obtained by subreption. Now, I did a really big word study on this because the Lord was leading me into this and I've been at this now for about 30 years. And I know it's very controversial, and I know 95% of the people totally reject it, but that's exactly what Bible prophecy said they would do. The word subreption means this: common law, a concealment of the pertinent facts in a petition. As for the dispensation of favor, that in certain cases will nullify the grant. Now, I hope you people understand what that means. That what these false preachers, teachers, and evangelists are doing nullifies the grant of eternal life. And that is deadly, deadly, deadly to the modern Christian. So anyway, this is exactly what Peter is saying the false teachers do. They bring in a total look-alike salvation message that conceals certain facts that the believer must know for them to be granted the favor of salvation. The concealment of these facts nullifies, in fact, the new covenant under these conditions. And God cannot and will not grant the favor of rebirth. So anyway, this is very, very interesting, and I just wanted to answer partly, and this is only a partial answer, because there's something wrong with all modern Christian salvation doctrine, exactly as the Bible prophets said there would be, and it's continuing, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And it's just sad to me. It's very, very sad that this is going on. Look at what Peter says. The truth shall be evil spoken of. So the real truth is evil spoken of. The Christian leaders, will zero in on this doctrine that's true, and they will say it's fake. So anyway, I wanted to, that's one of the reasons that I just wanted to warn people, you know, I don't want anybody to believe what I'm telling them. I don't want you out there to believe any pastor, preacher, or teacher. You're supposed to go to the Bible, and you're supposed to ask the Holy Ghost to lead you through what all of this means. And if you won't do it, you are going to go under a false and a totally false deception. And it's you're not going to know it, just like the book of Revelation says, you will not know it. And remember the guy that had the prophecy not very long ago, just before Billy Graham died. And he said that these false teachers had thousands of people behind them. And he said the reason was they were not declaring the full gospel. They were hiding part of it. And this, he said, came directly from the Lord. And when I read it, I thought, wow. This is one of the first ones I've seen that really does, in fact, align itself totally with what the Bible has to say about it. Here's what Paul said about it, because it dovetails directly into what he said. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Therefore, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 through 27 through 28. There you go. That's it in a nutshell. They're hiding this new gospel that has been in the church, and Jesus talks about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Go read it. The church of Laodicea, the Latter-day church. And he says right in there, they knowest not. They knowest not. They're under a total deception. And unfortunately, you can produce hundreds of verses of scripture to prove what the Bible actually is saying. And I don't know. I just, when I was flying aircraft, we had what we had called flight manuals. These were put together by the engineers and the flight tests of any airplane that is certified for use, particularly the big ones like 747s and all this sort of thing. You have what is known as a big flight manual. The flight manual was put together by the engineers, by the flight tests. They know exactly what that airplane will do, and they know what it will not do. A good example would be, let's say you weigh 350,000 pounds. You're at Denver, and you're almost 7,000 feet high. And the book says under that weight and under that temperature and whatnot that you need, we'll say, 8,000 feet of runway. Well, if you only got 5,000 feet, you're an idiot if you try to take off under those conditions. You know, the flight manual says what it says, and it means exactly what it means. And growing up with that, when the Lord called me, I began to look at the Bible in the exact same way. This is what God meant when he said, come to me as a little child. In other words, if daddy says do this, that's what you do. If daddy said believe that, that's what you believed, and you didn't question it. And we unfortunately have a faith now that questions everything. And as Larry knows too, we got all these skeptics out there who are, you know, taking apart the Bible literally. Well, Jesus didn't even say that. Maybe Jesus didn't even exist. Probably there's not even a God. It's just all made up, hocus pocus, and on and on and on it goes. My question to the human race is simple. What if the Bible is the absolute truth? And I tell humanity, you're in serious trouble. Because if the Bible is true, that means hell is real, and that also means heaven is real. And the vast majority of the human race is under a legal indictment. And I don't think people understand that the Bible is actually an indictment from the courtroom of heaven with God, the presiding judge. Humanity is a fallen creature. He needs redemption. If he won't check or accept the redemption, he's still fallen, and he's going to go where Satan is going to go. Clearly says that in the scriptures. These are hard sayings. In fact, even the disciples that were following Christ, they would say, well, this is a hard saying. Who can abide by it? And Jesus would turn, and he would say, what? Are you people going to leave me as well? Because these are hard sayings, and we don't hear that anymore. We don't hear any of this stuff anymore. Anyway, end of that part. I just wanted to answer that part of it because I thought it was important. And I'm not just picking out Billy Graham, but because I did mention it, I just wanted to say it's not the person. It's the doctrine that they're teaching. And if you will not look at the doctrine, and I mean really examine that doctrine, which you are ordered to do, you are commanded to do, because it's the only way you can identify false preachers, teachers, and evangelists. You can't do it any other way. So anyway, I'm not trying to pick out certain people, but I did make that comment, and I did get those emails asking, explain myself. So that's basically where that's at. Where do we want to start on the news?
Well, I was just going to comment, I was thinking as you was sharing all of that, and of course all of that You know, you're bringing from a complete biblical perspective. I mean, you know, people can't say that you don't know what you're talking about because you do know what you're talking about. What's interesting, I was thinking about that as you were talking, and I was trying to remember back, you know, Billy Graham was, you know, in the Baptist church, and they have their own doctrine, by the way. And
yes.
I was trying to remember the last time I was invited to a Baptist church to preach, and I seem to remember, and I'm 71, and I was battling pimples at the time, and so that would tell you it's been a while. What's interesting, though, I was trying to think and consider while you were sharing that, Stuart, the fact that, you know, if I went to most Baptist preachers today, because they literally, they're trained in seminaries, if you will, and they're
yes.
trained in those Bible schools, and they're told what to say. They have their own doctrine, and they're given that, and that's it. And they really don't accept any of that other. You know, if I went to a Baptist church today and I began to talk about, let's see now, let me get real. I'm going to say how my life has been for some time now. If I, you know, talked about dreams and visions and prophecy and I talked about, well, let's say for, you know, maybe I visited Mars. Oh, my. And, you know, other dimensions, and I've met the Lord a number of times, and he even appeared different in some of those occasions than what he did in the other occasions. And I began to talk about, you know, I like to pray in tongues sometimes because I don't know really how to pray about something, and I'm blessed by that. And I talk about all of this crazy stuff. You know, most all of those Baptists, not only the people at the churches, but the pastors themselves would move me towards the back door, and they would lock it behind me, and I would never hear from any of them again, and they wouldn't even pray for me. I'm too far gone for that. But then again, this is my life. This is how my life has been, and I know Stuart, yours is the same way. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that when I had some experiences of looking at Mars up close, if you will, And I would call you on the phone and share that with you, and you didn't make a big deal out of that. You just noted down what I had seen, and because you was working in a secret project with NASA images of where I was going, and I didn't even know that. But that's how a lot of times it works. But that's part of the, you know, I remember, you know, in the Bible it talks about the gospel of the kingdom. And,
yeah.
Most of us can't get off earth, much less get to the kingdom. But it's amazing, you know, when you and I share what we share, we probably don't have to worry about, number one, we don't ever have to worry about preaching in a Baptist church, I can assure you of that. Number two, we probably won't ever have a sitting president come to our funeral. And number three, we'll never be in the rotunda even as a visitor. So there you go.
Yep, I think this is, it's very, very sad what's happened, but we were warned by Peter, we were warned by Jesus himself when he was here, and of course he was speaking through Peter, just using Peter as a vehicle. John talks about it, Paul talks about it, they all talk about it, it's in the book of Revelation. In fact, the concept of false doctrine and false teachers is found throughout the Old Testament, and one of the reasons why the Lord said to study, search it out. That's why Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. If you continue in my doctrine, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those sort of things are falling on deaf ears today. And it's just too bad, because millions are in a lot of trouble with the Lord, and they think positively they're going to heaven, and there's no question about it. But the Lord says, I don't think so. And it's just deadly stuff. And, it's hard stuff, but the Lord has asked me to share some of this stuff, and I'm going to continue to do it because I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. I've warned people for the last 25, 30 years there's something wrong going on, and it's an embracement. Actually, what's going on, I think, Larry, is they have accepted doctrine, or you could call it theology, as the person of Christ himself, rather than going to Christ himself. There, and Jesus mentioned that. He said, You search the scriptures daily, thinking that in them you shall find eternal life. But you will not come to me that you might have life. Those kind of verses of scripture are really, really deadly warnings, and I just hope people
The very important things in what you were just discussing there, or sharing that scripture, they won't go to him for eternal life, but they go to the scriptures, and very clearly the scriptures themselves point them to Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, exactly. And what they do is embrace the scriptures and thinking that that is Christ. In other words, they're taking a theology and exchanging it. And in the final analysis, what they're doing is they're making faith itself into Jesus Christ rather than going to Christ himself. So I don't know. It's just weird. Where do we start? We got some kind of weird weather going on. All over the world, basically, sandstorms and floods and snowstorms and all kinds of stuff. Here's an article. I want you to comment on this. This is done by you guys down there in Oklahoma. Over 4,000 square miles, 4,000 square miles in Texas are sinking in giant holes, and new lakes are forming. It began with sinkholes. Two of them, gaping mouths to nowhere, opening up as if to swallow the town of Wink, Texas. As they expanded, there were fears they might collide, morphing into one giant void and swallowing up the city. Now, an unprecedented study reveals Wink and its vast sinkholes are just a tiny part of a much bigger problem. There is indeed a vast stretch of historical oil fields covering 4,000 square miles, almost the size of Connecticut, and which in fact is sinking and uplifting in parts as much as 40 inches. What do you think of that?
Well, it's kind of interesting that most of this data, came out actually after they began to have the earthquakes in the Gulf of Mexico itself, and of course, if you've watched my postings, Texas has had quite a few earthquakes down towards the coast, which is very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, we brought up with Stan the fact that there are reports that the Gulf Basin, under the water there is cracked or breached possibly. And remember when they had that oil well, the one that blew out, that very, very deep one, and caused all the trauma, in the Gulf of Mexico. They began to see the same thing with sinkholes and water coming out of the ground in Louisiana. Remember that?
Yes, yes, I do. That's going on all over, folks. Sinkholes are in Florida. They're in Michigan. There was a huge rift developing in Michigan. Then in Africa, I just was reading an article. It's actually, they're just jumping on it now, but I think you and I mentioned it some time ago about Africa splitting into two parts. And
yeah,
I think and the earth is expanding. Hell is expanding to make room. So anyway, here's another one. Unrest in Iceland. The second deadliest volcano continues to grow. March 2018 was the most active month ever on record. After lying dormant for nearly more than 250 years, the volcano suddenly began showing signs of growing activity starting in 2016 in the fall. Since then, the seismic activity has been picking up. So they're going off all over the Ring of Fire. And here we are, and remember the one that went off and interrupted all the flights and everything else? That was, what, three years ago now?
Yeah, Epikinjala.
Yes, that's the one. What do you think? I just think we're watching not only expansion, but we're coming up on a vast awakening of volcanic activity and earthquakes. That's
well,
just my take on it.
Yeah, we seem to be having a lot of very deep earthquakes. I was watching. There have been, if you will, sinkholes and actual chasms. Not only are they having chasms in Africa now, they're also having chasms down around Peru, Bolivia, you know, up in South America and certain those areas. And I was watching an earthquake down, I guess it was in, I believe it was, let's see, let me think a minute, where it was, Brazil, I believe it was, the other day, 550 kilometers deep. And the same thing, we're having it around the world, these earthquakes or these disturbances, and it reminds me of the Norwegian seer, the Norwegian prophet, you know.
Yes.
That actually talked about, he used the wordage of disturbances deep inside the earth was going to begin to happen, unsettling disturbances. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing very, very deep earthquake activity or seismic movement. And, of course, Stan believes that a lot of that is being generated in sound in the atmosphere. So some of what we're hearing in the atmosphere that sound like booms or high-pitched sounds,
yep,
is actually coming from deep under the earth.
Yep, it reverberates off the atmosphere. I think that's the prevailing opinion now. And there was a fellow that wrote a book, Parks. Remember Mr. Parks? And he wrote about earthquake booms. And that people would, and the other thing that happens a lot of times is you have these plasma releases, and they float around like a plasma ball in the sky around earthquake activity deep within. And it, for whatever reason, it releases a plasma ball, which are taken then for UFOs, which may be one of the reasons why when you're going to have activity, major activity. And by the way, talking about major activity, what in the world is going on out there off the coast of California? That appears to be, you know, they've been warning about this now for a long time, that California was going to get nailed. And it just seems like there's more and more earthquakes off the coast there.
Yeah, we're watching that, and they're trying to keep it low-key, but there's a lot of activity off the coast. And matter of fact, Dutch Sense has been really been posting, you know, his earthquake coverage, warning about not only earthquakes but volcanoes up and along California and the entire West Coast to Alaska. So there's a lot to keep our eyes on these days.
Yeah, and there's more stuff about Yellowstone that they're getting ready for a major disaster out there. Now, what was interesting to me was that I can't remember who prophesied that. Might have even been Mark Taylor. I'm not sure who did, but he said something about there would a Yellowstone would actually erupt, and it was going to be a warning to the United States, shape up or you're going to be shipped out. And I guess from biblical prophecy, we don't understand what the word shape up means anymore, so I guess we're going to get shipped out. What do you think? I mean, and Mount St. Helens is another one that's showing signs of erupting.
Yeah, I if I remember right, you know, Red Elk warned about Mount St. Helens and another eruption, and I believe Red Elk also warned about activity in Yellowstone, and of course, we have to point out that when we talk about Yellowstone, we're actually talking about more than just the park itself. This is huge.
Yes.
And a lot of activity is in Utah and Idaho and up in that region right now, too. Very active.
Yeah, they, in fact, I think some scientists believe that way deep under there was a super, super volcano at one time, because there's all kinds of lava fields in and around up and through there that they've found. So, yeah, this is going to get fascinating and deadly, I'm afraid. Switching over to world events, Crown Prince Salman's overture to Syria while in the U.S. What is going on? Now, he has claimed that he wants Assad to stay in power, and they're not going to oust him from power. a reversal, actually, of their regime change plans for Damascus. After all, that isn't that why we were over there, was to topple Assad? Now all of a sudden Trump says, well, you know, maybe we really need to pull out of there. Well, what's going on there, do you think?
Well, there's, you know, we've got a new thing going on the grill right now. We've got Saudi Arabia, the U.S., and Israel trying to prepare for a major war in the Middle East, and I don't think we had enough. You remember, Trump wasn't the one that got us into Syria, if you'll remember well on that one. I think not only is us being in Syria basically illegal, you know, it's also not particularly right now, since Obama spent 8 years decimating our military. We're not in a position of power militarily in that region to take much of it, possibly. And you know, Stuart, on the other hand, I wonder, is part of Trump's administration really so much about doing something in Syria, or is it really about defending Israel?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. But I'm wondering if he's getting ready, you know, if we're going to remove troops. Now, there's two things. We're having a military base built there in Syria. Of course, we're going to go head-to-head with the Russians. And I don't think Putin's fooling at all when he says, if you attack Damascus, it'll be the last thing you do, which would mean an all-out attack upon the United States. In other words, what he's really saying is our total destruction. Now, people want to know in the Bible where this is, go to Ezekiel 38 and 39. Because our destruction, the destruction of the United States, is in there. It's just coded. But if you read it carefully, we are right there. And when you see the former Soviets or Putin's allies, if they decide to attack Israel, which we know they're going to do, our demise is only a few days, weeks, or a month away from that event. It's right there in Ezekiel. The troops are all, the Russian troops or Gog's troops and allies are already on the mountains of Israel. They're already inside Israel's boundaries. And then it says, Gog will have an evil thought, and he will say, let us go up to the land of unwalled villages, to them that are at rest, and let us take a prey to those who have gotten rich and cattle and goods. Now, what modern prophecy scholars are saying, that's he's talking about Israel. They're already in Israel. He's not talking about Israel. He's talking about Israel's ally, Israel's protectorate, you might say. And if I was a military general and I wanted to take Israel, I would take out, or at least try to stop, the protector of Israel. And I think that's exactly what that verse is saying, that they're going to come and they're going to take us out because we're the only ones strong enough that could really cause some problems for Putin and his troops. But I really do believe that maybe what's happened is that Trump was told directly by Putin, get out of Syria. You have no business being here, and you get out. And so they may move the troops over to Israel. They're building places in Israel, are they not? Are they not building American troops over there?
Oh, yeah. They've got thousands, actually, inside Israel now. But we're in a precarious position, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion on this. Because at the moment, the Kurdish enclaves inside Syria, opposite Iraq, are being guarded and protected by U.S. troops, supplemented by UK troops, and also France has now deployed troops in both of those areas. And so you've got NATO facing off with NATO because of the Erdogan Turkish invasion, who is in there in northern and I guess you could say, Western Syria mm-hmm. to destroy the Kurds and wipe out the Kurds, and I think kind of push us out. So we've got NATO facing NATO. That's absolutely how confused this whole situation in Syria is. And because of the fact that we've actually, entered into a confrontation, you know, with U.S., French, and U.K. troops, and this is being done very under the radar, and we're
yes.
facing off with the Turkish invasion, Russia, the Iranians, and the Turks are now having a summit of the defense or what they will do in Syria. So this is just building by the day, and a lot of people don't have a clue this is all going on.
Yeah, well, the American press is such a bunch of liars, and I include Fox News. They never will tell you the real truth. It sounds somewhat like it's the truth, but when you really, you know, they mocked at 9/11 conspiracy. That's just conspiracy theory. I was a pilot for many, many, many years, and I know what happened there. And I had a fireman's brother who called on the morning of 9/11. And he said they pulled both of those buildings. His brother said they pulled both of them. And what I mean by pull, jet fuel cannot melt steel. It's impossible. We had that indication out there in California with those fires. Remember how all the cars were melted and the steel was all melted? There's virtually nothing left in the house. Everything was melted.
Yep.
That is not a house fire. That's something else, particle beam, microwave, or something else that we don't even know about. Well, that's what happened on 9/11. They pulled the building. Those were explosives. And if you follow the dots and the reports, it's obvious what was going on. And most people will just simply not believe any of that stuff. They think you're some conspiracy freak or nut when you say something like, here's another headline, Japan says, North Korea preparing for another nuclear test. And yet China's Xi just came out and said, oh, no, he's agreed to denuclearize. What's going on there? These are two opposing reports.
Well, it is, Stuart, and as a matter of fact, you know, I shared with you a couple of days ago that we were getting warnings from South Korea and Japan that North Korea had not only a lot of activity at their nuclear site after the China meeting, but that they also, were possibly working on firing another missile. And the latest data I've seen or gleaned off of the reports out of North Korea is the fact that they are preparing possibly to launch what they call another satellite. And we've already got two of those unknown satellites going over us now. Do we want three? there are some of the generals that said that would be an imminent World War III if they actually try to launch another satellite. So things are not as quiet as people claim it to be, and it reminds me of what you said the other day. You know, we were talking, and you said, uh-oh, when they say peace and safety.
Yes. Sudden destruction cometh. And if you look up the word sudden, folks, you should do a word study on that. I think that's in Thessalonians. When they say peace and security, actually it means peace and security, not safety. If you go look up the word, it means security. And they've been saying that now for some time, but now the hue and cry is going to come up when we get into a pitched fight or a hot war. Right now it's pretty much a cold war, but that can go hot at any time. And here's an article, Russia's game-changing weapons that we're not told about in Putin's speech. They have been building their military just like China has while Obama was destroying ours. And I got a question for you. They get this $1.3 trillion deal, and I want to get into that a little bit just before we close. And most of it goes to the military. If you're Putin and you're Xi, or you're Kimmy, the whiz kid in North Korea, And you're sitting there and you're saying, gee, $1.3 trillion, and most of that's going to go to the military, so they are going to reestablish their military. Should we just sit back and allow that to happen, or should we take them out before they can rebuild their military? What do you think? I'm of the opinion they may take us out much quicker than we realize.
Well, you know, with me not having a security clearance anymore, and I also know that part of what that money is to go for is to build more and modern nuclear weapons and hypersonic missiles that they can't stop, and ship, destroyers of ships and space weapons and all of this. I don't think I would allow us, since Obama brought us down to almost, bottomed out military, and we can't even have most of our planes don't even fly anymore. We're having crashes all over the world right now. Our military planes are just going down. Helicopters, mm-hmm. planes, all of them. We've got major problems, and for China or Russia to sit back and watch us use that $1.3 trillion to rebuild and modernize our nuclear forces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that would be kind of foolish. So it appears to me, I would have to say, that at a time we're about to rebuild, it would be the most dangerous time America ever faced.
Yeah, that's what I think. And it says that the sudden destruction, if you look up the taking of America, Babylon, and I know a lot of people don't want to believe America's Babylon. Doesn't make any difference whether they believe it or not. America is Babylon the Great. New York City is the great city Babylon. The parameters are there. Just believe what God said, and it all clears up very quickly if you just believe what he said. And I guess what's happened is people just don't believe what the Lord says because they don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe that America, the great here, is actually Babylon, and we're going to be destroyed. I mean, it's quite a shock. It was to me. It took me about a week to recover when the Lord told me who America was. I said, that can't be true either. I mean, but it is. And you can find it in Jeremiah or Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah 50, 51, Revelation 18 predominantly, and we're taken out in about 1 hour's time. Sudden destruction cometh. And you know, it's interesting about that sudden destruction, it's tied directly to the removal of the church. And if you read it, because it's the subject is the church, and that they and them will not escape the sudden destruction, but you, brethren, you will escape it, which is why the Lord said, pray always that you stand worthy to stand before the Son of Man and escape all these things that are about to come down. Now, you can take the word escape and mean hidden or removed, either way you wanted to look at it. Anyway, all kinds of things are going on, and Friday maybe we can pick up on a lot more of this because the surveillance that's being done on the American people is just incredible, and they really don't know it. One other thing, the sun is spitting out strange patterns of gamma rays, and no one knows why. So there you go. Larry, any final comments?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention, they also say that there's a lot of body electric going on in humanity right now on planet Earth because we're on the receiving end of what the sun's doing with the anomalies.
Yes. People are reporting in and they're sick, they're tired, they're wiped out. A lot of this is electromagnetics and cosmic rays, just like the bots claim. We're dealing in that sun disease, and I think very soon we're going to have Dr. Doom's kill shots start, the CME. We've had some pretty close ones lately. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in and listening. Friday, we'll get into some more of this kind of stuff. There's a lot going on everywhere, and none of it, I guess, good. But anyway, it is what it is. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Friday if the Lord is willing, and we certainly hope he is. And Larry, thanks a lot for coming on. And we'll see everyone on Friday. Good night.